My guests today are with me in the studio, personal trainer Emma Titherly. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Lee.
And GP, Dr. Rachel Morris.
Morning, Lee.
And you were saying, Rachel, you don't like that record.
No, because my maiden name is Monday. And so people used to sing that to me at school.
Oh, they're mean.
Bit cruel, I thought.
It was a bit cruel. Now, you're here to talk about exercise because it's one of the 8 steps of wellbeing. Is that important?
Really, really important. I think it's one of the most important things, actually.
And let's pin down what we mean by exercise, first of all.
I'll let Emma talk about that.
Well, Lee, any kind of movement is good and is helpful. So people are probably aware now that sitting is described as the new smoking. So low activity levels are actually as dangerous for your health as smoking. So I think being realistic about what you can fit into your day, your lifestyle, just building in bits and pieces however you can. So even if that's walking to work or taking the bus and getting off a few stops earlier, cycling if possible, maybe even walking at lunchtime. So just being realistic about what you can fit into your life. It doesn't have to be crazy gym workouts or HIIT sessions.
That's what I was thinking. It doesn't have to be running around or lifting weights, just
absolutely
movement,
not.
Really.
Yeah, movement. So, yeah, we were designed to move, not to sit around for hours upon end.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed if I've had a day at the office just sitting down, my back's hurting by the end of the day. I feel really, really sluggish. It's awful. Whereas if I've done, I do a circuit class with Emma on a Wednesday morning and a Friday morning, I get so much more done during the day. I don't know about you.
Well, yes. What are the benefits of exercise? Yes, it does. It boosts your energy, doesn't it? It has the opposite effect for what you think.
Absolutely.
It would make you feel tired, but it's the adverse effect.
Yeah, and it, I mean, not only in terms of the physiological effects, but obviously psychological effects as well. So it's just brilliant for mental well-being. Also, cognitive performance. It really improves, you know, the way we think. In fact, some research was done in America in a secondary school that was, you know, fairly low achieving. They had quite a few problems, and they introduced an early morning workout session where the children weren't competing against each other, but they were running, and they had heart rate monitors, and they were competing against themselves. And sure enough, no surprise, you know, aggression levels decreased, their concentration improved enormously, and of course grades improved too. So yeah,
there's a little group of mums and children in the park where I run in the morning. Oh, yeah. And they do that similar thing. Doesn't have to be much, it's just a couple of little loops.
Absolutely.
Of the park, and they're obviously seeing the benefit.
Yeah.
So how much exercise, that's the key question, isn't it? How much exercise should we do?
Do you know, I'm not going to say the government guidelines, because I think they can be quite off-putting. What I always encourage people is to do as much as you can, and you can realistically fit in with your lifestyle. So, and just think that anything is better than nothing. So if that is just a 15-minute walk and that's all you can realistically fit in, that's great. That's better than sitting on the sofa. But also, I find it really helpful, and a lot of clients find it helpful to have an accountability partner, because you're less likely to cancel if you've arranged to go, say, for a run with a friend than if you've just...
Accountability partner, I like that. That's a good expression. Yeah, yeah, so it's somebody who you would be letting down if you didn't.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
And for how long, this exercise? You're saying as long as we do something... But for how long? So, walking to the TV and back's not good enough, is it?
No. No, sadly not.
Yeah, getting sadly.
So, picking up the remote.
Yeah, there's a really interesting little YouTube video that's less than 10 minutes, which was produced by an American doctor. And he did some research into what's the bare minimum that we can do to make a difference to our health. And it's called 23 and a half hours. So if people wanted to Google that, it's really interesting. And his research showed that just half an hour of walking a day will make significant differences to your physical and mental well-being. So in terms of, you know, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity. And interestingly, he also discovered that an overweight person who was active was healthier than a thin person who was inactive. So, and he also discovered that even breaking that half an hour into 2 15 minutes a day will reap the same benefits.
Have you seen this, Rachel? Because you're a doctor, used to work as a GP. Have you seen this, that if you've suggested to somebody that they increase their activity levels, they've seen a direct benefit in their health?
It's very difficult to measure because a lot of these effects are long term. So if you're advising people to take more exercise and they're sort of 45 years old, they'll probably reap, well, I think they'll reap psychologically the benefits of that straight away. But it's very difficult to say, you know, to see immediately effects on their heart disease, which might strike when they're late 50s, 60, for example. But the major benefit I see immediately when people take up exercise is the benefit to their mental health. And I think it's this feedback loop as well, because I think if you're physically fitter, you feel better about yourself, so you're mentally fitter. If you're mentally fitter, you're more likely to get off the sofa and do something. It just goes into this feedback loop. So I think the biggest thing is actually starting it off in the first place.
And how would you suggest starting? I've got an email question here from Neil in Fulbourne, who's saying things like, do you need to warm up before, you know, you do walking? Just doing warm-ups can put people off.
Yeah. For something like walking, I'd say no, you don't necessarily need to warm up. Maybe start the walk at a slower pace and then build up. But for something like running or some strength work, definitely you need to warm up. Yeah. But rather than the traditional kind of stretching that you might, it's more useful to do moving stretches. So, for example, rotating the arms to get the synovial fluid moving in the joints, a few squats and twists just to get the body moving first. Yeah.
Is there a perfect exercise? Is there a good exercise to do? You know, if you had to just recommend one thing.
If I had to recommend one thing, I would say walking.
Really?
Yeah.
It's partly
in terms
because
of
that's
convenience, yes. And yeah, it's so easy to fit in with your lifestyle. But strength is really important too. So, I mean, body weight exercises, you don't need any gym equipment for. You can do them at home. So, for example, press-ups, which you can start from the knees and then progress to doing full body press-up from the toe. Or squats, again, to build up the leg muscles, which is really important, again, for later in life, because then you've got the strength to get up and down from a chair. It improves mobility as well.
And yeah. Things like yoga and Pilates.
Yes.
The stretching exercises, but you'd still call those exercises.
Oh, absolutely. And again, yoga. So yoga's more stretching and flexibility, whereas Pilates are probably a little bit more strength. But yoga, again, very important flexibility for long-term movement. And there is quite a lot of strength involved in some yoga classes as well. And certainly Pilates works a lot on the core, which again is very important for supporting you through general movement and preventing back pain.
And what about this, as Neil says, what about, you know, he goes out, he does some exercise, and then he comes back and he's starving.
Yes.
And so he has a takeaway. Yeah. And, you know, sort of undoes all the good work he's been doing.
Yeah, I suppose it depends what the takeaway is. But, again, just being prepared. So if you've got a banana ready as soon as you get in and perhaps some nuts so that you can have a nutritious burst of energy to tide you over until you perhaps can cook your meal or if you've got something that's relatively quick to prepare, I'd recommend that. So just again, not thinking, oh, I mustn't eat this, I mustn't eat that, but again, working towards a diet of inclusion. So thinking about foods that are going to nourish your body and give you the maximum benefit for calorie.
Is it true that after exercise your body absorbs vitamins and minerals quicker?
Yes, you do burn it because your metabolism is higher, so you're still burning off energy. And again, depending on what you've done, so if you've done a lot of strength work, that the effects of that will actually carry on for sometimes a couple of days afterwards because your muscles are repairing and that requires energy. It raises your metabolic rate.
And what if you don't exercise? What if you just live a sedentary lifestyle, Rachel? What happens then?
Well, I think the evidence is you do much worse, actually. Mortality is higher. You're going to have a lot higher risk of illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease. All these things can be reduced by just, you know, half an hour of being active a day. And it's, as Emma said, it's not high intensity exercise, it's just being active. So, you know, there really is a lot of evidence coming out these days about sitting being the new smoking. And we all do it, don't we, because of computers. We're emailing people all the time rather than getting up and walking across the office to see people, to talk to people. You know, so the best thing you could do is just get on your bike, get off the bus a few stops earlier, just try not to use the cars for those short journeys. All those sorts of things, those little things really, really do add up. Because if you see the way we were designed to be walking a long way in search of food. We weren't designed to be sitting around.
And what about age-related exercise? Because the things that you might do at 20 might not be appropriate in all sorts of ways when you're 50.
Yeah. So it's still important to do some strength work when you're 50, but again, just being more gentle. So not obviously lifting heavy weights necessarily, but doing things like squats to build up the leg muscles and press-ups. You could do press-ups against a railing or a wall, so it's not quite so challenging. Yeah, and again, walking. You don't have to be running marathons, but if you feel well enough to, why not?
Well, you're a personal trainer, Emma. How much exercise do you do?
How much do I do? Well, I do usually around 4 structured sessions a week, but I do a lot of kind of what I call functional exercise. So my poor children, we never take the car. We're always cycling or walking unless it's kind of extreme gale force conditions outside. So which I think also is building up good habits for their future as well.
Well, lovely to talk to you. If people want to find out more about your work, where should they go?
Well, we have a website, cambridgeperformance.co.uk, and we run away days for companies, for teams who can come and do a bit of mindfulness, hear about behaviour change for the ways to wellbeing, do some exercise. There's a group of us we'd love to see people. And Emma, your website is?
Yeah, my website is Cambridge Urban Fitness, so www.cambridgeurbanfitness.co.uk.
Lovely. Well, lovely to talk to you. Yes, I will do more as I promise.
Good luck.